Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Father in heaven, this afternoon we give glory and honor to your name in the name of Jesus. Before creation was brought forth, you had been God. You had always seated upon the throne. We came to meet you seated. No one in creation can lay claim to the fact that you were there where you were made king. You are the self-existing one. You are the one who is, who was, and is to come. You are the Almighty. We pay obeisance to you this night and give glory and honor to your name in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for today's gathering, for everywhere people are gathered to hear, and for everywhere people are gathered, Lord, to fellowship. I pray that you will honor our meetings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that wherever, Lord, this sound of this message will reach, Father, I pray you will open our eyes and you will bless us.
Amen.
That those who should be delivered will be delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray you will expose the enemy. I pray that, Lord of heaven, that you will put him to shame again. I pray that you will exalt the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that, Lord, Father, in this meeting, Lord, you will grant me utterance. Your angels will help me even to minister in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every weight on our minds, every weight that is pushing on them, I break that hold upon us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I ask for clarity of thought. I ask for utterance and unction to function in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I bind every spirit of confusion. I bind every spirit of distraction. I bind every spirit that Satan has sent. I rebuke and cast you out of these meetings in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not distort the word that is coming forth. You will not cause confusion. You will not steal it. I pray, Father, for the capacity of this word to hold on us and to build faith in us, even faith in you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, church. Good evening, brethren. Good evening in the name of Jesus. It's another opportunity to come to you today as we continue our School of Diocese, looking at the warfare of the kingdom. And there we are talking about the nature of our enemy. Last week I delved into looking at the things that we are fighting, the things that are confronting us. I said that there is no way we can talk about you being useful to God when we've not dealt with your own personal problems. And I remember saying that number of ministries have expanded, they have increased just to minister to people's needs. We have the enemy. Many people do not realize that the nature of the cosmic battles that we are fighting. Many do not know that they have been distracted, they have been swerved to pay attention to self than to the interest of God. And this is a problem for the church. And so we're trusting God that this teaching will bring us and give us a little balance. Now, the other thing I want to tell us that this teaching is not going to go dig very, very deep into demonology. We don't have the time. We don't have the resources right now to be doing that. I'm trusting God that the little you will hear, the little you've heard, that the Lord will expand it in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
At least you need a working understanding of what goes on in the realm of the spirit, the occultic operations. I'm trusting God that even when this is finished, we will talk about angelology. That's the study of angels and their operation. And God will help us to be balanced people in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Having said this, you need to understand that among many problems that we face in our individual lives, two major issues were discussed last week. And that's the issue of causes and the issue of loss. Many of us are unaware that we may be operating under curses. In the past, I've had Christians some say that because we're born again, we are no longer under a curse. And so we are free. Jesus has made us free. And so we don't need to talk about demons. We don't need to talk about all those things. And I can only shake my head because, again, I should ask, if then that be the case, when you were born again, shouldn't your eyes have opened immediately? Shouldn't you have understood the promise of God if it was like that? Shouldn't all those promises have just come on you automatically without you needing to pray? Why did Paul have to tell us in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened? that he may know the hope of his calling. It was an automatic thing. These were things that Jesus purchased for us even before we were born again. They were there, they were hanging there. But he prayed and asked that our eyes will open. Likewise, the curse. Yeah, the Bible was made a curse for us, because curse is it that hangs on a tree. That was in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham may come to us. Yes, you are born again. But does that not mean that you need to still ask the Holy Spirit, ask God for the Holy Spirit to be baptized? Does it not mean that you still need to implement the deliverances and the promises that has been given to us in Christ? So these are the things that are there. So people tell that, no, a Christian cannot be demonized. A Christian cannot be possessed. Look, that is theology. I'm sorry, as I'm concerned, that's theory. It's not theology, that's just crap theory. When you step out into the world, we're telling demons questions. We're arguing with realities that you will face. We say demons cannot be, Christians cannot possess demons. We have seen Christians that are demon possessed, that they needed deliverance. So if you like, you're carrying all kinds of funny theology around. One thing I know, that there is only one, that we cannot push the gospel of the kingdom, we cannot implement the intention of God's kingdom without confronting devils. These are realities we will face. And wherever you see them, yours is not to be arguing. Is it supposed to be here? Is it supposed to be there? That's not your business. You only need to cast them out and implement and install the kingdom of God in that place. And I haven't said this. Can we move on? And so moving on, I didn't speak much about lust. Lust is another area that we have to deal with. Many of us, we have inordinate ambitions. We have wrong desires. I was chatting with one of my daughters today. He said, Daddy, I like makeup. I said, it's not everything you like that you have to have. That's what Yorubas call ojukokoro. If you allow everybody to have everything he or she likes, then there will be confusion in the whole world. So you have to, that's why the Bible speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. You have to learn to take your eyes away from things. The Word of God says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. It's not everything that you like that you have right to use or do. So that you like makeup, you like girls, you like eating, you like all that, you don't have the right to have them. And so you must know how to take your eyes away. And if it means that, oh, I will not look fine, so be it. Many people do not understand what they are rolling with. Many people don't understand the challenges that they are fighting. Satan is really fueling lust. And that's an area that the Word of God needs to help us to deal with, and the Spirit of God helps us to deal with in the name of Jesus. We'll talk about it further down this study as we go forward in the name of Jesus. One other thing about curses. There are many reasons and many ways by which curses come into people's lives. I just mentioned about it. When God gave the word, when God gave instructions to Israel in the Old Testament, he specifically told them the curses that will come upon them, especially if a person does certain things. You don't have to verbally curse a person before he's cursed. Once you do something, it will trigger a curse. One of the things that people do to trigger curses is when, for example, they disobey God's word. When you disobey God's word, you can trigger a curse upon your life. One of those things that people do without realizing that they are walking in a curse is when they dishonor their father and their mother. Paul warned us, honor your father and your mom, because this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. What is that promise? That you may live long on the earth. When you honor your parents, the Bible says you will live long on the earth. So when you dishonor your parents, what is the consequence? Your life will be shortened. We've not done enough research to see why people die young. I don't know, but that's God's word. The word of God just tells us that when you honor them, you will live long. And so if Satan is trying to impose upon you an untimely death scenario, you have a scripture to hang on, that I've obeyed this scripture, and this is the promise, and for that reason I can't die young. Do you understand? So these are things that we must understand about this whole transaction that is going on in our lives. And so the word of God speaks about you misleading the blind. So when you mislead the blind, say a curse will come upon you. The Bible speaks about those who go into, who steal people's things. When you steal somebody's things, you say a curse will stay in your house. So there are things people do. When you hear the word of God, you hear the warnings of God, you hear the instructions of God, you hear the dangerous aspect of God, how terrible God is, against sin, and you are laughing, you trigger a curse upon your bloodline. And these are things you must be careful with when you are dealing with God. God is not People think, they say, God, Jesus has moderated God. Jesus is not moderate God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who killed them in the Old Testament is still the God that sits upon the throne. So don't take him for granted. The Bible says some who take him for granted, they were wasted. Jesus Christ said, be afraid. Not be afraid of him who has not only power to kill the body, but has power to cast the soul to hell. Say, ye, I tell you, fear him. So if there's anybody to fear, it is still Father God. It's still the Father God. So don't want anybody to deceive you. Say, no, we are free. We can serve him. He loves us. It is true, he loves you, but don't kid yourself. If you cross the line, he will not hesitate to hammer you. That's why Paul warned us that we should not fall into the same trap that those who went before fell into, and they did not enter the promised land. Don't let us make that mistake. God is still the same. He says it's still a consuming fire. But we thank God for the mercy. We thank God for the privilege to approach the throne and receive mercy. Don't take God for granted. Having said all this, I want us to go into today's teaching. I've been thinking about it a lot, and to tell you the truth, I was really not sure how this direction will go tonight. But I thank God for this little that I have to share with us today. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, can somebody please, let's take it from verse 10. Can somebody please read Ephesians 6, verse 10? I want you to read loudly so I can pick it up on the radio.
Finally, be strong in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood,
Hallelujah.
But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Hallelujah. You are not reading KJV. I was wondering what you were really reading. Yeah, this one does not look like our normal KJV version. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says our struggle is not against human opponents. We are not contending against human opponents. It's a reality. When you look at the Gospels, you find Jesus giving authority to his disciples to go and preach the gospel to the world. The first thing he told us, said, cast out devils. So anybody that is telling you that we don't need to understand this thing, we don't need to know, we don't need to study, we don't need to be acquainted with them, that person is under the influence of demons. Because one of the things that you must realize about demons is that they prefer to operate without people being aware of their presence. It's what it calls stealth. A person is upon you and you don't know he's upon you. And that is their nature. They like to stay in the dark where nobody has an inkling about their presence. But you must not be dark. You must not be in the dark. You must not be confused. They exist. They are real. And they are dangerous. So when Paul said that our struggle is not against them, and like I said on Sunday, Pastor Daly tried to explain to us the different kinds of struggles we go through. And you see that every day. Your mind, your circumstances, they frustrate you, they try to get to a place of depression. You fight against those things. Those are the demons, those are the operations of these powers, of these spirits against us. Like I said, they are not human beings. Paul said they are not human beings. They are not people you see. You don't see them. But they see us. So in a way, they have advantage. Because they see you. They can even see your inside. They can even see your configuration. They know how powerful you are. But unfortunately, you are living in the natural. You don't know how powerful you are. So you are in the dark, more or less. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Paul said this, that he that is inside of us is greater than he that is on our outside, that is in the world. And so we have that. We'll talk more about that as we go forward in the name of Jesus. So, who are these demons? Now, You can clarify them into two levels. You have the low-level demons, and you have the high-level demons, high-level spirits. They are, like Paul, like I said at the beginning, I wasn't sure how Paul arranged them, whether he arranged them in descending order or in ascending order. But I've come to realize that Paul numbered those hierarchies in descending order. The most powerful, that is beyond, the first person he mentioned was Satan, the devil. And what did he tell us about him? He says, realize this. He says that, what should you do? In verse, verse 12, folks, I'm not used to this NIV. Let me look at my KJV. Okay, let me look at my glass. Okay. Okay. No, that was not the wrestling. Verse 11, thank you very much. They put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the first person. That's the first personality we are confronting. He is the head of the pyramid. The Bible calls him the devil. In the book of Revelation, they call him Satan, the opposer, he who accuses. We will talk about his characteristics later on. He is an accuser. And so when we are fighting Satan, or, you know, we're no longer fighting Lucifer. They don't use Lucifer in the New Testament. You don't see him being called Lucifer. He was called Lucifer in the Old Testament. That was his name before his fall, the son of the morning. But after his fall, he was no longer called Lucifer. He is referred to as Satan. He who opposes, he who accuses, he who maligns, he that is against everything God. How does he fight us? Wiles, schemes, strategy, trickery. He tricks us. He tempts us. He's playing games, mind games with us. He's moving us and maneuvering us into position of weakness so that he can nail us. And he has only one agenda: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Shekinah. Then the people who are under him, the first people said we find are called principalities. Those are the principal princes. They are princes of darkness. They are terrible. And I spoke about them. They operate over nations. I told you about that. Then I talked about powers. These are power beings. These are entities that control that control these realms of the earth. Those basic things that rule the earth, like commerce, like business, like education. Those are fundamentals that govern the whole earth. It's common to all of us. These are another set of princes that are below them, and they operate in that realm. Then when you talk about the rulers of the darkness of this world, you find them, types of them, pornography, occultism, what are these things that you find, that like vices, all the vices among the sons of men, the rulers of the darkness. They are the ones that rule the darkness. They are the ones that propagate the darkness. They are the ones that control the darkness. They are the ones that make the darkness real. There are the scriptures in the Bible says, gross darkness shall cover the people, and these are the rulers of this darkness. They try to veil us. That the veiling spirits, they veil the hearts of men. And when Paul was now talking to us in Ephesians chapter 1, he says that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. It's about you dealing with the rulers of this darkness. They operate in ignorance. They encourage you to be ignorant. They encourage you to be unaware. They confuse you. Spirit of confusion and all, these are rulers of the darkness of this world. So anything you see in this world that is dark, when John was speaking, he said the whole world lieth in darkness. There are rulers that control this darkness. They make sure that you never, never get to know the truth about anything. Anything. People, we were talking about 5G the other time. You know, there was a lot of debate. Does 5G cause coronavirus and all that? And really, nobody could put their hands on what exactly was truth and what was error. And it was clear to me that the spirits behind these things are these rulers of the darkness of this world. There are hidden agendas, there are conspiracies, there are all kinds of things that they are playing. They are playing with us, they are playing with human minds, confusing us, and we don't really know what to do. It's not unlikely that they are the ones behind this COVID-19 or These are these spirits that are working, and they are all working in tandem with their Oga Prince. It's all an orchestrated plan. So I told us last week, Satan has a plan, and it's operating by plan. Methodia is organized and operating with a plan. It's a focus beam. It's not a half-half, no nonsense, the other knows right from his left. No. The person you are dealing with is powerful. Don't take it for granted, but don't fear him. Don't fear him. Don't be intimidated by his roar. The Bible says, like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He is like. He pretends to be a lion. And so when he roars, you roar back. Then he will look at you and say, hey, so you choose I be. You say, yes, I did that. I said, okay, no, I didn't know. I was just thinking you would just, that's how he does. But it's not a lion. There's only one lion. And that's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you are a child of the lion. And of course, lion does not give birth to goats. Lions give birth to lions. I hope you know that. Yes, from your basic animal science. It's just as a simple truth. Praise God. So when we now start talking about cosmic, and then the other ones are who? He now said to them about, he said, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are high places, means dominions, I mean, areas of influence. And these are not the, yes, they may look like they're in high places, but they're not in the heavenly places. When you speak about wicked spirits, they're wicked spirits. They are wicked spirits. Wicked spirits. And so the high place is not as if they are above us like that. They are. It's referring basically to the unseen realm of darkness. It's a level above us, technically, but not as if they have more authority than us. No, it's not about the authority over us. It's about the realms of the operation. Praise the Lord. Now, having said all this, I want to just go over again about their characteristics and their activities. Praise God. One thing I want you to realize, Satan is not everywhere. Let me settle that. Satan is not everywhere. He's not like God. He is everywhere at the same time. Yet he's seated on his throne. David was exclaiming, was speaking in the book of Psalms. He said, Lord, where shall I go from you? Where can I hide from your presence? If I go to heavens, you are there. If I enter the depths of the earth, you are there. If I go to hell, you are there. Everywhere I go, you are there. I can't hide from you. Nothing is hidden from the face of him, but with whom we have to do. Everything is, you know, everything is naked before his eyes. Even the thoughts and intentions of his eyes are naked before God. So nothing hides from him. Not the thoughts of Satan. He can read his thoughts. He can see it. He can see the way his mind is working. That's how powerful God is. Jesus can appear to me here at this time, and appear to somebody else in London at the same time, and appear to somebody at the same time in Japan, appear to somebody at the same time in Australia, appear to somebody at the same time in America, anywhere, and it still be the same Jesus. It will send the same difference, but still the same Jesus. He didn't send a night ministry. How he is able to do that defies the laws of physics. Mind you, he made physics and created it. So he's outside what he created. He's not bound by those things. So he's so omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time, yet he's not divided. Praise God. But not so with Satan. Satan is limited by space and time. Just like you and I can only be in one place, Satan can only be in one place. Hallelujah. Now, but he relies on many followers. Look at Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 17. Can we read it? Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 17. We have seen it before.
Verses 12 to 17.
Yes.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shape kingdoms, that made the world as wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoner?
Praise the Lord. Let us go to Revelation, verse 12. Let us look at let's pick the top from verse 7. I want to read to 12.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Let us stop there. The Bible says he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he has angels under him that do his bidding. That's why it appears as if he's everywhere at the same time. He's not everywhere at the same time. He, as the devil, is not everywhere at the same time. If you look at the story of Jesus during the Mount of, when he went for his temptation, the Bible says 40 days he was tempted of devils. The last temptation, which I believe happened on the last day of his 40 days fast, was when Satan himself arrived. It's the first days of his fast, those small boys were coming to come and tempt Jesus. And he was just slapping their face. Just when the grandmaster got down, takata, now showed up. And gave Jesus 3 tests to show you how dangerous he is. Just 3 tests. If he had failed any of those tests, the game was over. The fight was over. There was no need to go to battle again. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn stones to bread, because I can see you are hungry. But how do we know you are the Son of God? You have to be able to do this miracle. Satisfy your lust. You don't need to depend on God. You have the power. Use it. And that's where the problem lies. I said this when we're starting this series. There's a difference between power and authority. That if you have the power to do something, does not necessarily mean you have the right or permission to do it. You must check with he who gave you. Jesus did not use his power to turn bread, to turn stone to bread. He could have called the stones and they would have turned to bread. He could have. But he didn't do that, because he was not permitted to do that. Oh, Satan said, then if that be the case, let us take this game to an higher level. He said, you came for the kingdoms of the world. I will give you everything. All I need, just kneel down. Just Christ said, no. Only God you will serve. He said, right? Okay. He took it to the pinnacle of the temple. I said, cast yourself down. For it's written, he will give his angels charge of you. Satan quoted scripture. He has not changed though. He's still quoting scriptures to us. But what did Jesus do? He used another scripture to neutralize that scripture. There's no, it is written, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to test. So, brethren, we must realize the kind of person we are dealing with. He has not changed, but he's not everywhere. That's the first thing I want you to know. That he has angels, fallen angels that fell with him, and they be cast into the earth, and they have only one job. And the Bible says in verse 10, it says, and I had a last verse in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength, and kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And the Bible says, verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. He said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. Understand this. These devils hate us. Their relationship with us, there is nothing good about it. They are angry, they are hateful and destructive. So don't assume, no, don't let anybody deceive you that there's anything good in Satan. There is no iota of good. Everything about Satan is evil. There is no white witch. There is no black witch. A witch is a witch. There is no white devils. There is no black devil. Every devil is a devil. And they are all the same. They hate you and I. Praise the Lord. So let's move on. The second thing I want us to understand about this demons and their activity. Like I said, these are low-level spirits. These are the low-level ones we encounter every day. They confront us, they fight us, they wrestle with us. The cosmic one takes us to another level of responsibility, another level of warfare. The technology in fighting those ones is different from the one you use in fighting those small ones. But each one of them, they are as dangerous as any we confront. Hallelujah. These angels, like I said, they seek to inhabit people or animals. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Let us go to Matthew 12. You need to see their nature. They would like to inhabit. inhabit Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Excuse me.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Amen. The history of humanity is littered with the story of demon possession and demonization. There is demonization, there is demon possession. Demonization means that to a level of degree, demons control a person's life. And they mess that life up. But when a person is demonized, he loses control of his body. He loses control of his mind. And those demons take over his whole faculty. That's why he says somebody is a lunatic. Or somebody is mad. Psychology assumes that the person's mind he has a mind problem. And so they give them drugs. The drugs don't cure them. This drug just simply makes their mind dull. That those demons in that man cannot be expressed. But the truth that is a demonic case. I've heard a lot about them. When I went to Europe, first time I was in Portugal, that was in the late 80s, and I realized that, wow, so many cases of demonologies. People were possessed. And I said, Kai, if anybody has a deliverance ministry, you will eat here, go. Because you have the casting out devil's free of charge. But they have no solution. And it's the same thing is in Europe. They're always giving them drugs to make them docile. But the demons are still there. The Bible says this spirit, unclean spirit, after it was cast out, it came back looking for a place to stay. They are always looking for a place to stay. Now, these are called disembodied spirits. Now, historical theology, more or less, told us that there was a creation before man was made. It's called the pre-Adamic creation. These were spirits that had a body. They lived in a body. They joined in the rebellion of Satan against God. And their bodies were destroyed, and they had to be roaming around the darkness and the second heavens looking for a body to possess. Because that is their nature. Without a body, they cannot express themselves. They are always looking for a body. And like somebody said, what the Europeans have not, what the Igbos did not tell us, is that the dinosaurs that they said looks like an animal, they were not really animals. They were very intelligent beings. What you see in this Jurassic Park, something like that, and they make it look so funny. They were very, very intelligent beings. Very intelligent. They said the size of their head is the same size of the human brain. Very intelligent. They were the ones that were cast out, because if they say they are fossils, they found that many of them died suddenly. The judgment was quick. So God destroyed their bodies. So they have been roaming around looking for a body. Yeah, the one you find them either in animals, they possess animals, they were the one that Jesus cast out of that man of Gadarene. And they said they went to the pig. They need a body. Without the body, they will be tormented. So if they can't find a body, they will look for an animal. If they can't find an animal, they will look for a tree or a stone, something to attach themselves to. And so when you come across them in the world, oh, you see something supernatural, these spirits. It's not as if there's anything big about it. It's just this disembodied spirits. And you must know how to deal with them. Praise the Lord. Now, so the Bible says that spirit left and went and came back, wanting to dwell in that house. The other thing I want you to also realize about them is that they have personalities. They all have, just like you have human beings that have personalities, different personalities. Even within a family, you have people who have different kinds of personalities. Psychologists have tried to arrange our personalities into four. right? I think sanguine, all those things. Even with that, it still does not capture the full expression of the human personalities across board. You can't categorize everything. Very, very, very difficult to do. In fact, I understood, listen, that there are different sexes. In the Western world, we say you're either a male or a female. In Asia, there are all kinds of sexes, different from male and female. There are people that have the body of a man, and they have the genitals of a woman. You have the people that have, you are women in the appearance, they have the genitals of a man. Then you have people that have both. All kinds of things that Satan has distorted. He has distorted the human personality. So there are personalities. Also in that realm, there are personalities. Hallelujah. And so if in this personality, you must, some of them are beggarly, some of them are arrogant, some of them are destructive, they seek to impress people with their powers. Look at Mark 9, 17 to 29. This is an interesting story. Mark 9:17. He said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought to thee my son, which are the dumb spirit. Now, we are dealing with a dumb spirit. This spirit made the boy to be dumb. The boy was not deaf, but the boy could not speak. Hallelujah. But in addition to the fact that the boy could not speak, he also had epilepsy. And wheresoever he taketh him, look at it, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. That means he loses weight, he can't eat, and his body is emaciating. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I suffer? You bring him to me. And he brought him to him. And when he saw him, Jesus saw the boy. The spirit inside the boy saw Jesus. And what happened? The spirit tore him. Now realize, the Bible says, when the spirit seizes him, he teareth him. So there are times when the boy will be normal. Suddenly the thing comes upon the boy again and begins to throw the boy up and down. The spirit was not outside the boy. The spirit was inside the boy. The spirit was just, it was a show of spirit. But his manifestation was that, man, the boy, he made the boy dumb. Two, he has, he takes advantage of the boy, tears the boy, makes him to gnash his teeth. That means, how do you say, like somebody that wants to pass out or faint. As if he wants to die. Then the Bible says he pines away. That means there's nothing that boy will eat. The boy will never grow fat. The boy just kept losing weight. Now, it's not likely that this boy was like this when he was born. The thing suddenly came upon him. We don't know how it came upon him, but the thing came upon him, took possession of the boy, and began to do that. Now, when the Bible says the spirit saw Jesus, what did he do? It now tore the boy. He fell to the ground and began to foam. Began to demonstrate. He began to do all kinds of gymnastics. These are these areas when you are doing deliverance that you will see. People will be turning like, they will be turning like snake. Some will be doing like water. They will do all kinds of maneuver. You will now say, they have got you. Now, until you got it by scam. The idea is to sidetrack you. And you start looking at manifestation. It's a show of spirit. It's common with many of those spirits. And you must be careful with them. And so what Jesus Christ do? The Bible says, and he asked his father in verse 21, how long has this been since he came upon the head of a child? And all the times he cast him into fire. So this spirit had a suicidal tendency. Now within the categories of this kind of manifestation, you'll find that there are different personality traits within them. This one had a terrible something to want to kill this boy. He cast him into water, cast him into fire, just to destroy him. Now, you know that when you look at mad people on the streets, especially the ones along Nigeria, you find out that when they are walking on the express, they walk outside the road. Have you noticed? As mad as they are, they know they should not come on the road. They know about cars killing people. But when a madman jumps on the express and is walking on the center of the road, what's the conclusion? That these demons are tired of him. They want to go out. They are looking. They are tired of the something. They want to. They want another spirit, another body to inhabit. And of sure enough, when you pass the following day, you find that the warrior has been killed. Satan has wasted that life, and he has gone his way. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We see these things every day. They are there, and they are real for us. He wants to destroy him. And then the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe. He now said, help my unbelief. That was a story for another day. In this kind of thing, when you are casting devils, you must believe that all things are possible. All this manifestation of the spirit is intimidation. They are intimidation tactics. It's to make you lose faith. And so when the disciples saw this, they just put their head and said, hey, can we cast out this devil? Hey, we have not seen this type before. Remember, they had gone out for evangelism and cast out devils. This one, this is a different type. They met a different kind of spirit. They didn't know what to do. But Jesus Christ said, and this, but the Bible says, and Jesus, verse 25, and when you saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the spirit, saying, when you are coming against devils, don't say, Satan, I rebuke you. It means meaningless. There's nothing like Satan, I rebuke you. There's nothing like that. The Bible says, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, what constituted the rebuke? Thou dumb and deaf spirit. That was the rebuke. That was the what do you call rebuke again? So when you rebuke, when you scold. Thank you, mommy. When you scold, when you put the guy in his place, you're a deaf and dumb spirit. That was what you are. You are not. You are useless. You are no nothing. He rebuked him, saying, thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit did what? Cried and rent him sore. Now, please pay attention. After Jesus spoke those words, he didn't see anything again. See the manifestation. After Jesus spoke, the spirit did what? He cried. How long he cried, we don't know. But my experience, that cry is not, hey, and the careful, I know. It could be, hey, hey, he's casting me out. Hey, hey, when they begin to do that, then they say that you will panic. I say, I'm talking to you. I say, come out of that boy. It will be, lay you more potential. This one does not know anything. He'll continue demonstrating. When he saw that the cry did not work against Jesus, what did he do? He rent him so. That means he must have some assaulted. He must have hit him against things. Jesus was just looking at him. He didn't say anything again. After that, what did he now finally do? He came out. And he left the boy. Having expended the boy's physical energy, he was like one that was dead. And everybody said, oh, God, the boy is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Let us learn from the Master himself how to deal with these devils. It's very, very important. We will come across these people. When I use the word people, I'm talking about those demons, because they have personalities. They are very, very different. And one thing that I also want to say about them is that they differ in power. Remember the story I just shared with us? The disciples had been exposed to some demons. They said, we will enter to your name. We cast them out. Spirits were subject to us. We healed the sick. Just like I said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. But when this one came, they came to meet Jesus. Look at verse 28. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? We've been casting out the other guys. They were not giving us problems. Why this one? What did we do wrong? And Jesus answered and said to them, he said, this kind. Everybody say this kind. They are different kinds. You must be acquainted with them. They are different kinds. And they have different levels of authority, different levels of power, capacity to resist. They said that there are something that does not answer in the name of Jesus. There is no demon that don't respect the name of Jesus. The problem is, do you have the level of authority to mashallah come against them? When you don't have the authority that demon has, it won't obey you. They know, somehow they know people's ranking. And that's another area of spiritual maturity we have not spoken about. There is what we call spiritual ranking. They know your rank in the realm of the spirit. Remember the seven sons of Sceva. They came to cast out devils. They slew into that spirit. The Bible says they were exorcists. They went to that man that was possessed. And they said, "We adjure thee in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. Come out of him." They've seen Paul do it. They've seen his beloved disciples doing it. They've seen them cast out devils. Now, they were exorcists. They were used to casting out devils. I don't know if your generation watched that thing, the exorcist. When they were that guy went to cast out the devil. Eventually, he could not. It was a stalemate. He had to open himself up to allow that demon to enter. And when that demon came out of that child and entered him, he threw himself out of the window and died. Of course, once he had left that child, he couldn't go back. The body he wanted to inhabit had been destroyed. The demon had to leave. That's how they were able to cast out that devil. So, exorcists have an idea of how they cast out devils. They use turari. They use holy water. They use all kinds of funny things. How it works, I don't know, because I've never been one. Praise God. So I can't tell you the technology behind it. When you see one, you can ask, but I didn't send you. Praise God. But the one I know is what I tell you. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he alone is Lord. But the Christians could not cast out these devils. And just said, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Maybe this is why this ministry is not very popular. Because it requires a lot of prayer and fasting. Because you don't know the one you will meet tomorrow. I call disgrace. These people, my disciples were disgraced on this day. This man came to Jesus and said, your disciples you trained could not cast out this spirit that I possess my son. And you are saying you are born again Christian. And you are saying you cannot cast out COVID. Eh? Ordinary COVID. All the noise they have been making. They could make noise because they have been successful with other diseases. But COVID is a bigger demon. Amen. Just like this kind cannot come out except. It's not that they cannot cast it out, because just they've not developed the level of authority to cast it out. So you must understand that there are levels of authority. Like I've shared with you before, I was doing a deliverance one day, and the boy was laying hands upon him and was saying, "Come out of him, come out of him, come out of him." He was just looking at me, "Killing Shebrosi. Dr. Abilidwe just came from my back." He said, "Who told you didn't have demon?" And just breathed into his nostrils. And the boy began to summon himself. And I say, sure. So, Agbara to Jagbara Lo, praise God. If you watch Mazan, you know that Agbara to Jagbara Lo, praise God. There are some powers you don't go and meet. Until somebody greater than him comes against him. His authority. And you must understand that. Praise God. But don't be afraid. Don't say, Pastor, I didn't fast too. I can't count. Fast. One of the worst times to do deliverance, after you have eaten a bar or in your, you now bring one demon. Say, yeah. And I did not fast too. What? And the Holy Ghost said, "I should fast this morning." No, hear me. It doesn't matter. Praise God. Authority does not work on that. Authority comes with your understanding. I remember the story of this, of some brethren that were doing deliverance. I know of my own something. And that demon possessed man, you know, looked at all the brethren and said, "Where are you guys standing?" And the brethren said, "We are standing on our feet." And the demon issued them slaps. Pow, pow, pow. They talked to one brother to intimidate him. I think it was a smaller stature. Well, for the sake of this story, let me make him a smaller stature. So I know that's not by stature. It's by understanding. Praise God. I said, "What are you standing on?" The guy said, "I'm not standing for your correction. I'm seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, might and dominion. That's where I'm operating from." And it was to that young man that spirit submitted to, because he understood the word of God. It was that brother that said, "Yeah, come out of him now in the name of Jesus." And they were and that man was delivered. But our brothers that issued, collected slap. They collected it for because they were ignorant of where they were standing. They did not know. The Bible never said they were standing. The Bible said they were seated. You sure you understand? So authority in a way comes from your understanding of the word of God. And the reality of that word. We cannot talk about faith and you just believe. No, you must know what the word of God says. So when you are coming against them, you know where you are where you are standing. Praise God. So, this kind will not come out. But by living a life of praying and fasting. Praise the Lord. And so, the other thing I want to say as I begin to bring this to a close is that the objectives are to cripple, disrupt, or destroy anything that is a threat to Satan's dominion over the world. That is the objectives. They will disrupt, they will destroy, they will cripple everything. We're talking about personalities, we're talking about families, we're talking about organizations, we're talking about churches, we're talking about nations. That is their work. They go all around just to cause confusion, just to disrupt, so things will not move properly. Just to make sure that you don't, you know, there are spirits of confusion. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Paul said that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty of God. That what do we do? We cast out, we cast down what? Imaginations. We come against strongholds. They build strongholds in men's minds. That's one of their major work. They're always going about lying. They're always going about strengthening people in their belief systems. That's their job. And so you must understand it when you're coming. So I tell people when we go for evangelism, I prefer to send two people out for evangelism. When the one person is talking, the other person should be praying. It should be binding. It should be silencing every spirit that is inside that person, or is working through that person, and making sure that the word of God has a free will. When you just go there to argue, that demon has neutralized you. Every time you go out to preach, you are going to war. It's not a social gathering. You are going to war. You are going to dispossess the enemy of a person that he has held bound for a long time. And so it's better to go two by two. But if you can't find two people to go with, go alone. And when you are preaching, be praying under your breath. Be asking the Holy Ghost for strategy. Asking him for the anointing. Asking him to send his angels to help you. Because Satan may just take advantage of your ignorance and hit you where you don't like. Now, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. I'm talking about their characteristics. I'm talking to you about their activities. 4. Are you there? I am there.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
We continue. Let's go to 3.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Please, let us look at this. If this is where we stop tonight, it's okay. Hallelujah. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, the latter times started in the days of Paul. Remember last Sunday I was talking to us when Paul said the time is short. I said since the day Paul wrote those things, the time is this short. Praise God. It has always been short. The end time started when Jesus rose from the dead. That was when end time started. That was when the latter day started. So don't push latter day to one day in the future. The time is short. Paul has come and gone. It is still short. So don't let anybody tell you that, since they've been saying Jesus will come back, he has not come back. This is your Babu. Listen to me. He's still coming back tomorrow. It is always tomorrow he will come back. Hallelujah. And he will come back one day. Amen. Says they will give it. You know what to give it? You know what it means to give it? They will pay attention. They will listen. Maybe they were passing, you know Nigerians, and I think it's not only Nigerians, when two are fighting. You know Nigerians like to stop. They are going to Ojulegba, but when they get to, where is this place? Ojota. And you see two fighting, they will stop and start watching. They didn't call them, but they just want to listen. They will give it to the people who are fighting. They are seeing people talking. They don't know why they congregate on this to stop and go and start listening. The bus they were supposed to enter, that will leave, they will not enter. They will pay attention to what other people are saying. How they will give heed. How do people give heed? When you start reading books, you should not be reading. When you start listening to messages, you should not be listening to. When you start reading, when you start watching film, you should not be watching. When you start getting yourself into positions where they tell you things you should not be getting yourself into, you are opening yourself. Because they will take it. I was telling people, I don't listen to CNN again. Because a lot of lies and deception is coming through that medium. So, people will give it. Because they assume that the person talking is an authority. Not everybody is an authority on anything. No. Majority of them are just liars. So they will give it to deceitful spirits. Spirits ask, they have an intention, and that is to deceive you. Praise God. And they will tell, they'll be talking to you as though they have your interest at heart. But they are deceptive spirits. They deceive you. Jesus Christ warned us. When we were asking him, you know, on that mount of, when we went to the synagogue, to the temple, and we were coming back, and was talking to them about, you know, about the whole temple being destroyed, Matthew 24, and they were asking him, Jesus, please, what is the sign of your coming? What is the sign of the end of the world? The first thing he said, let no man deceive you. So we have in our lives, in our midst, in our nation, all around us, spirits that are what? Deceptive. And once you begin to listen to them, listen to their teachings. The Bible calls them teachings of demons. These teachings are philosophies that drive nations. Philosophies, whether it's about coronavirus, when you listen to the coronavirus thing, it's clear that there are demons driving that agenda. Everybody's confused. They don't know what to do. They said we should stay at home. We stood at home. We stayed at home. But the population is increasing. People who did not even go out are having the coronavirus. So how did the coronavirus come? Lies all everywhere. Recently, I came across a document where the Kenyan president said, okay, send samples to the doctors or whoever it was that was doing the test. They were using the test kit that came from China. They say, had tissue, blood something from goat, take from pawpaw, put it there. Don't tell them, we'll just let them go and test. When result came out, they said pawpaw has coronavirus. They said the goat has coronavirus. Then the president said, something is wrong somewhere. No. Something is not just adding up. That means the problem is with test kits. And the way Nigeria is going, everybody in Nigeria will have coronavirus. The way they are going. Because those test kits are not correct. What is driving it? The Bible says teachings of devils. The social spirits. I was wondering a few weeks, you know, last week, they said the House of Assembly members came together to consider a new bill to be quarantine people. The part of the bill is that people will be quarantined and everything. They can take people's houses. They can arrest people arbitrarily. Once they suspect you have a disease that is contagious. All kinds of things we are putting in the bill. And I was like, Kilosha and guys, what's wrong with them? Because later this after I read that Bill Gates actually gave the House of Representatives people $10 million to pass that bill.
In Nigeria.
What's driving? What's the spirit behind it? The Bible says it calls it the teachings of devils. Doctrines of devils. Doctrine is not only in church. Doctrine is in the health. You find doctrines in your school. When lecturers will tell you that, look, this thing I'm teaching you is rubbish, it doesn't mean anything. All kinds of stupid things that they're telling us all over the world. They're telling us CNN, they're telling us NTA, they're telling us... These are doctrines that is going out. When people tell you that there's nothing wrong in fornication, there's nothing wrong in gay. Why do you think that's coming from? It's coming from the teachings of devils. An hypocrisy of liars whose conscience have been sneered. Now people who take on and open themselves to these demons and they become mouthpieces for these demons. And their conscience can no longer distinguish what is true and what is false anymore. Their conscience is already seared. They are burnt. They can't respond to truth or reality anymore. And these are some things they will do. In the days of Paul, there were some people from marrying. You still find that in some religious systems, where they say for you to serve God, you cannot marry. What is it? You cannot marry. So you know, sir, the priest cannot marry. So you know it. But we know many of those priests are very promiscuous. They have children all over the whole world. Excuse me, why do you create a system where you tell people not to marry because they want to serve God? And you put a snare on them. That system is terrible. They all came from doctrines of devils. And for people from eating certain foods, there are some people that don't eat meat. They say, do they want to do, is it Mr. something or so? The ash. They say, I don't know. They said they don't eat fish. They don't eat meat, Abi. The Anglicans don't eat meat. Where did they get that from the Bible? It's the doctrine of Satan. Demons introduced it to them, and they bought it, and they are rationalizing it. Oh, you say, Pastor, will you take them to hell? I don't know. Only God knows. But if they have started listening to such demons, they will listen to bigger demons. It's just that one way, once you open door, the rest will come in. Praise the Lord. And so we find that these things are there. They are liars. They cause this doctrinal confusion. They also cause sicknesses. In Luke 8, 22-25. How much time do I have? And then I must be able to bring this to a close. The next five minutes I'll finish. Let's look at 8. Luke 8, 22-25. Luke 8, 22-25. Okay, I'm there. One day Jesus, okay, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, read it.
Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the wind and water, and they obeyed him.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Actually, that's a different thing I was going to read. But remember, I got that wrong, but I will speak along that line later on. But I want to explain. Now, that storm that rose, what we recorded is that storm rose. What you did not see was that Satan was the guy behind it. He was trying to ambush Jesus to kill him. And Jesus rose and told the wind to be still. Because demons also have influence over the natural world. They control weather. When you hear about hurricane and tornadoes, winds blowing and removing people's roofs, killing people, lightning killing people, those are demons operating. When they say, Onron Arasenyo, what did they say they said to somebody? They said, Onron Shigidi. They are spirits, they are demons people sent. And when you know that thing and you understand how it operates, you know how to take authority and destroy it. Jesus was faced with that spirit and is commanded this original wind and all that he was using to calm down. And rebuked and called the spirit and passed, and there was great calm. Praise God. But you also have, but like I said, there is an aspect that people do not know. Some sicknesses are even majority of sickness are caused by demons. When we pray for the sick, we must realize that when you pray for them and they don't respond, you may be dealing with a demon spirit. And until you cast those spirits out, you cannot heal them. The man of Gadarene, he must just cast out the spirit and healed the man. And they found the man to be in his right senses. He cast out the spirit and healed him. There was that woman that was bent. I think you find that in the story in Luke. The woman that was bent for 18 years. Jesus cast out that spirit of infirmity and healed her. So they walk hand in hand. So you must understand that these demons attack people and cause sickness. And we must know how to cast them out as we come across it. Now, I want to finish this discussion. I don't have the time. I wish I had the time to go by, but I don't have the time. To look at different ways by which people get demonized. But I mentioned something last week. I think I need to cover. I just mentioned it as I end. Is there anything that is accursed that is in your house? Any object? It could be chain. It could be amulet. It could be a book. You cannot put a book of an occultic book. Or you have a film like Harry Potter on your laptop, and all those sorts of demonic things that attract demons. And you think you will not have, if those things will not affect you, they will definitely affect you. So let us pray and deal with those issues in our life. And I trust God that God will grant us victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening. God bless you. I will appreciate anyone that has a question from any of the centers or cells so that I can answer it. You can type it. You can say it. Just indicate you want to speak and we'll unmute you. And there we can, all of us can hear. God bless you. Read it to me. I cannot be shaking my head away. Where is it coming from?
Good evening, house. Thank God for the exposition of the reality of the wicked one. Sir, my question is, as Christians, how can we deliver ourselves if we are sure that there is something wrong with ourselves?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where are they coming from?
Damilola.
Okay, Brodami. Thank you for listening. It depends on the nature of your problem. If it's an ancestry, if you are dealing with issues that come from the ancestral line, you have to do that yourself. In prayers, go to the throne of grace, repent of the sin. There's a pattern of dealing with those kind of things, especially things that come, sins of the fathers. Look, if you remember Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was going to pray to God, he confessed the sins that they and their fathers had committed. Even though Nehemiah was not among the people that committed it, he had to confess it as his own. He identified with it. And so, before he could now be asking God for deliverance. That is one. Now, however, when you find that you have a problem like confusion, you have problems like hatred, you have problems like unforgiveness, and it's like a hold, call brethren, confess it to them, let them pray for you, and cast out that spirit from you, and you'll be delivered. That's what Paul said, that confess your sins. Is it Paul that said it, or James? They confess your sins one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. So that is the principle behind the deliverance. Thank you. Any other question?
This is from Tope Akinyele. Good evening, sir. How do we identify the enemy? I think I saw the topic is on unveiling the enemy of...
You didn't... Somebody didn't complete the right topo. You said... I don't know. I can't see...
How do we identify the enemy?
How do you identify the enemy? That's what I've been saying all this while. I've been talking about him. I've been talking about his activities. I've been talking about his personalities. I've been talking about how they enter people and how you can recognize them and how you can cast them out. I said so. But you see, anything that defiles, anything that debases, everything that you see is not out of order. Like I said, when Jesus Christ woke up from the sleep and there was this wind that was boisterous, I was going to overwhelm them and sink their boats. The Bible said Jesus rebuked the winds and the wind became calm. I said that was what you saw in the natural. But in the spiritual realm, it was actually a demon that was trying to kill them using the storm. And Jesus saw beyond it and rebuked them and commanded them to stop. And the whole thing became calm. Nothing happens out of the ordinary. Nothing. There are spirits that attack us. They attack. You just find out that you are being frustrated. Somebody does not like you. You don't know why the person does not like you. You are seeing the hand of the devil. Because he's a puppet master. He just uses the people you see. But he's a puppet master. When Peter was rebuking Jesus and said, you will not go and die. Jesus did not say, Peter, what is wrong with you? The Bible says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You suffered not the things that be of God, but of men. He was talking to Satan. Then you ask, is Peter Satan? No, Peter was not Satan. But Satan used Peter to utter his thoughts. He had taken possession of Peter's mind, and he was speaking. And so if you are discerning, you will know that it was not Peter talking. It was a spirit that is talking. Have you heard people come to you and say, I can't see you make it in life. You think it's an ordinary eye? No. A spirit was using him or her to speak to you. And if you don't resist it, the thing will come to pass. So these are things you need to know when the enemy is coming against us. You know, they frustrate us. They use other people, people you trust that will do something for you. They just mess you up. It's demonic. You must know how to go and deal with those spirits and smite them. Praise the Lord. Any other one? Amen. So, in the event I have no... Okay. We have two. So which one is coming up first?
What is the difference between demonization and being demon possessed?
I've said it that there is demonization is when you demons have access to your mind. And especially like lust, like anger, all those things, you find that they are very common with you. You have been demonized. They control you. They tell you and encourage you not to repent or seek for help. But you are still in control of your body and your mind. But they are actually controlling that aspect of your life. You are demonized. But when you have a demon possession, you lose control of your mind. That is the story of the man of Gazarene, when he lost control of his mind. He was the one that saw Jesus, that ran towards Jesus. Those spirits didn't want to go and meet Jesus. He was the owner of that body who wanted deliverance. But he had no control of his mind. The Bible says when those spirits are in charge, they can break a chain. They break chains. He will go to burial ground, be cutting himself, be screaming throughout the night. It was that man was not in control. It was the spirits that possessed him that were in control. Sure, you understand? And if someone like Peter, if he had allowed that spirit ground, if Jesus had not dealt with that satanic spirit that was speaking through him, it would have become a consistent thing in his life. You just see Peter, people just be jiving, and you don't know why he's jiving. It's actually a demon he has accommodated, who has sat in that area of his life, and that spirit will be manifesting. That is demonization. It's not possessed, it's demonized. You see, certain people get angry and they break things. They are brethren. You now say, brother, how can you? It's a demon he has given place to, that he has seized that part of his life and is expressing himself through that. Some just like women. Some just like food. Some just like lies. You talk them like they are brothers or sisters. I come for a good morning. The guy is lying. He needs deliverance. It's not pity. So it's demonized in that area of his life. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Okay. Can we pray? Father, I thank you for this night and for this evening. Thank you for the utterance. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for helping us to deal with these issues tonight. I pray for myself and for my brethren. Wherever we have issues, Holy Spirit, bring light to them. Shine your light upon it. Help us to see where we have allowed and we have accommodated Satan in our lives, in our bodies, so that we can receive deliverance in Jesus' name. For those of us that they will come to for help, I pray for courage and strength to stand in the place of authority in Christ, to cast out those devils in the name of Jesus. No longer will anybody that have listened to me be afraid of devils. The Bible says Christ spoke the spirits and powers and made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. Father, grant us the confidence to stand and enact and enforce the victory of resurrection over these fallen angels in the name of Jesus. No longer are we going to be bound by them. No longer are we going to be intimidated by them. No longer are we going to be afraid of them. That Lord of heaven, anywhere we go, we will have the confidence in you to cast them out in Jesus' name. Teach us the things we need to know. Teach us how to go about this. There are many things to learn. Holy Spirit, teach us. We don't want devils teaching us because we know that they will keep on telling us lies. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be weary, to be discerning when we are dealing with the spirits in the name of Jesus. Amen. I thank you, my Father. Let there be testimonies of great deliverance, even in our ministries and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. We bless you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen and amen.
Believe. believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.